بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's a Monday morning, and unlike the Tuesday morning link-ups that we have for Living the Legacy series, today I'm honored to be spending these 2 hours in your company at Radio Islam International. And today a very different theme to the program and a very different approach. Today we're talking about one place in the world that is sacred, blessed, and beloved to believers the world over. We're talking Aqsana, which translates into our Aqsa. Today on the program, we'll be exploring a symbol of unity, humility, and safety, a symbol of Islam. Today, we talk Aqsa and Palestine. If you'd like to follow the discussion, tweet your learnings and reflections, and follow up for live tweeting, inshallah, you could do so with the hashtag OurAqsa. That's hashtag OurAqsa. A warm welcome to the program today, our engineer brother Tufail, our producer of the program Maulana Daya, and we bring you this program today as an opportunity for you to connect to our first Qibla, the third Haram, one of the most sacred places in the world. Welcome. On the program today, we are opening the lines here in our Johannesburg studios, 011-854-1548, for international callers to dial into our Johannesburg studios, +27 11 854 1548. On the program today, we're asking a question. We're asking you to share your experiences of being in Masjid al-Aqsa. Have you had the chance to travel to Masjid al-Aqsa? And if you have traveled to Masjid al-Aqsa, what has that experience been like for you? Did you have any issues at the border? What's your memory of setting your eyes upon al-Aqsa for the first time? What was it like to do ziyarah there and to walk amidst all the sanctuaries and all the mihrabs that are there? What was it like to pray in Musalla Marwan or in Qubbat al-Sukhra? We'd like to know. You know, we often talk about going to the Haramain and our experiences there. And those are precious memories, subhanAllah. But I hardly hear of people talking of their experience when their eyes lay upon the Gold Dome or upon the Aqsa Masjid itself. Or what's it like? What's the atmosphere? And I'd love you to take us down your memory lane and allow us to experience Masjid al-Aqsa through your eyes and ears. You can call in. I'd love to hear from children on the program today. I've heard that recently many young kids have accompanied their parents, young children, teenagers, young adults, and have gone to Al-Aqsa. So I'd love to know your experiences, what it was like to pray Jumu'ah there, to meet the people. Is there one experience that stayed with you when you visited Masjid al-Aqsa, perhaps on a Haram tour? I'd love to know. 011-854-1548. Call in live at our Johannesburg studios, and we'd love to hear from you. So what can you expect on today's live edition? On today's edition, Aqsana, we'll be reviewing the significance and the virtues of Masjid al-Aqsa itself. Then coming up shortly, we will also be speaking to an esteemed guest from the United Kingdom. We speak to the founder of Friends of Al-Aqsa from the United Kingdom, Brother Ismail Adam Patel. We talk to him more about his personal interest and dedication to Masjid Al-Aqsa and the importance and the need for awareness about Masjid Al-Aqsa. Later on in the program, I answer the question to you, why should you and I visit Masjid Al-Aqsa? We'll be talking about sacred places within the Aqsa Sanctuary, and inshallah, in the second hour of the program, we speak to Maulana Musa Badat, who has for many years been assisting Muslims from South Africa to visit Masjid Al-Aqsa. We talk to him live from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. All of this coming up and more in the duration of this hour, so do stay with us. To begin on the program today, we want to do so by reminding ourselves that Masjid al-Aqsa is the only masjid mentioned by name in the Quran except from Masjid al-Haram. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Bani Israel, verse 1, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. It translates as, exalted is he who took his servant by night from al-Masjid al-Haram to al-Masjid al-Aqsa, whose surroundings we have blessed, to show him of our signs. Indeed, he is the hearing, the seeing. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has honored us with this complete way of life, al-Islam, and favored us with the light of Iman in a world that is being overshadowed by darkness and oppressions. And as Brother Ismail Adam Patel states in his book, of all the symbols of Islam, the most neglected in our time is Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine. And so it is that Al-Masjid al-Aqsa has a very special place in the hearts of the entire Muslim Ummah, due to its unique and rich history as a place of worship. It is intertwined so closely with the lives of numerous prophets of Islam. It is a masjid that has a special status from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to which travel is recommended and reward is increased. It is the location where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was transported during the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. And we'll talk more about that later on in the program. For now, we go for a short nasheed dealing with and related to Al-Aqsa. And when we return, our interview lined up. Stay with us. As part of our focus on this special edition and this exclusive feature on Radio Islam, we'll be speaking to people who are making a difference, who are making that extra effort, going that extra mile, and educating and creating an awareness about the first Qibla and the third Haram, one of the most sacred sites in Islam. We're honored here on Radio Islam International to have a very special, distinguished guest joining us on the program, a forefront leader in the world of activism and awareness about Masjid al-Aqsa, and one that the English-speaking Muslim community has relied on heavily for his thorough research and his passion and devotion to the cause of Masjid al-Aqsa. We speak to Brother Ismail Adam Patel, a British optician and the founder of Friends of Al-Aqsa in Leicester. He is an advisory board member of the Conflicts Forum, director of Islam Expo, and a member of the Special Advisory Board of Clear Conscience. He writes commentary for The Guardian and The Independent, Al Jazeera English, and Arabian Business. Brother Ismail Adam Patel has also published books, among them the most riveting on this topic and the best by far that we face in the English language is that of Virtues of Jerusalem, An Islamic Perspective, and Palestine, Beginner's Guide. Brother Ismail Adam Patel, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam, and JazakAllah for having me online.
Thank you very much, JazakAllah to you for giving us your time today. As you've perhaps heard from the promo, we are only talking about Al-Aqsa today, and we thought that the perfect person to speak to would be yourself. Now, there are a lot of young people listening in who perhaps are keen on being activists or would like to voice their concerns about Masjid al-Aqsa, and most importantly, create an awareness about Masjid al-Aqsa. As someone who's been established in this field for a number of years, mashallah, could we perhaps ask you to give us a bit of a background? How did your interest and your love for Al-Aqsa begin?
Alhamdulillah, the first thing was, it all started because I visited Masjid al-Aqsa, and I visited it in a state where I was myself ignorant. And when I found out the greatness of the Masjid, when I went there, from the people and the locals who told me of its importance and its virtue, I think it moved me tremendously. And I think just being present within the Haram of Al-Aqsa, just sitting and meditating and making zikr, was very, very enlightening. And I began to understand that most of us at that stage, I'm talking about 20 years ago now, or 25 years ago, people didn't know about Masjid al-Aqsa, and particularly in Britain. And I was wondering why that was. And I think that moved me, and Allah, in a way, accepted whatever work has been done so far, to try and educate myself first and foremost, and through that my family and the extended community, And it extended from that, really. And Allah gave barakah, and we have a lot of people that came to support the work we do and extend it as far and wide as possible. So I think the first thing was to be moved by being in the present of the masjid itself, and then trying to educate myself about the issue and the masjid.
Alhamdulillah. When we're looking at, and you know, you mentioned a very important point, that there wasn't that awareness in those days, and there's many parts in the world till today where there still isn't that awareness, and there's a need for that awareness. I'm speaking to you, for example, from a Muslim country, where when I spoke about some of the very basic points and shared with them from your book, people were astounded at the facts. And we're really just taken aback about how connected we should be to Al-Aqsa as our Islamic heritage. Perhaps to share with us a bit, that there's people listening, and we have a global audience where people would like to create that awareness and they're going to face challenges. If you could choose three tools that people who want to create awareness could use, what would the three most important tools be?
I think the most basic and simple one, and it's the most important one as well, is to bring into conversation Masjid al-Aqsa in our daily life. And what I mean by that is we routinely talk about the Haram of Makkah and Medina Munawwara, which we should, and we should continue remembering them. So we ask people to make dua for us, for example, to say, please make dua for me that Allah accept me to go for Hajj, or please make dua for me that Allah accept me to go to Medina Munawwara. And we should continue doing that. But we never mention Masjid al-Aqsa, which is the first Qibla and the third most important Masjid in Islamic history. We never ever ask people to make dua for us that we hopefully, inshallah, can go to Masjid al-Aqsa. We never ask people to make dua for Masjid al-Aqsa. And this discourse that has been taken away from our daily life, I think, needs to be reintroduced. But that can only happen if we know about it. And that requires us, unfortunately, at this stage, to go and look at the Quran and a hadith and look how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has emphasized the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. And once we get to know that, hopefully it will become part of our language. So this is the very first thing, is to get to know and make it part and parcel of our daily life conversation. Once that becomes normal, then inshallah the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa then will spread much more wider. So it's a very simple thing, but it's a very important thing that we should bring into our lives. The second thing is to visit Masjid al-Aqsa. It is an amazing fact that almost everybody I have met so far, without exception, who has been to Masjid al-Aqsa has become more connected, has grown greater love for Masjid than ever before. I think the second thing I would recommend people to do, especially those of the non-Arab world, is to go and visit Masjid al-Aqsa, and they should make ziyarah. And of course, there are many hadith that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has indicated towards this ummah that we should make ziyarah of Masjid al-Aqsa, and we can go through them later on. And thirdly, is the fact that we should create our own halakas, our own community, little groups in which we talk about and exalt the virtues of Masjid al-Aqsa. In effect, we should try and teach each other its importance, and I think that is very, very important. And I would recommend everybody to go to their imams, local imams, and say at least once a week the imam should read one hadith on the virtue of Masjid al-Aqsa, so that the people get to know its importance. So we really need to make it, what I'm trying to say in essence, is to, we should make our language centered towards Masjid al-Aqsa, and it should become the common currency of our talk.
Inshallah, inshallah, most definitely. When it comes to education, and so people will say, well, Al-Aqsa is under oppression in the sense that it is surrounded by Zionist forces. The question arises often is education and awareness sufficient for the liberation of Aqsa? And what role does that play? How powerful a role does education and awareness play when it comes to the liberation of Palestine and the holy sites within it?
I think it's the very first and the most important step. You might think it's insignificant, that what is required is something great and grand. But the reality is, in order to be able to stand up to the right of Masjid al-Aqsa and the Palestinian people and Baitul Maqdis, the very first thing that is required is first to build that love. And we cannot build that love unless we know its importance. And that can only come from educating ourselves about the situation on the ground. Otherwise, what will happen is we react emotionally. We only react when things are in the news, or we only react when somebody else tells us something about it, rather than ourselves being measured and work throughout our lives with all the other issues that we have regarding Muslims and the Islamic world. This should be part and parcel and fabric of our daily lives. And that can only happen if we continue, first and foremost, to educate ourselves. It is extremely important. Education is the first pillar towards changing the situation of ourselves and the Muslim Ummah, and in particularly Baytul Maqdis. Because then we'll not be able to only discuss it amongst ourselves, but then we can also take it to the powers to be and the greater world society and community that we have to interact with, so that we can emphasize the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa to the Muslims. We can make it aware that why Muslims have literally, thousands of Muslims have given their lives in the time of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, then again Salahuddin rahmatullahi alayhi, and all the other great pious predecessors who have sacrificed themselves towards liberating or maintaining Masjid al-Aqsa. And that tradition and history and heritage continues through us, and that I think is very, very important to pass on to the next generation, and it's particularly to the non-Muslims, so they get to understand why Muslims throughout the globe have focused themselves towards Baytul Maqdis.
Most certainly, most certainly. In an age where there's so much of technology, and we find that with this excessive amount of technology at our disposal and amounts of information that filters through, how can the younger generation, or well, absolutely everyone uses technology nowadays, but we're talking now about the younger generation. It is a public holiday in South Africa, so many youth are listening in on the program. They're all going to say, well, how can we use technology to help create an awareness? Perhaps an idea or two of what has worked in the United Kingdom that you feel could be successful elsewhere as well?
We have Friends of Al-Aqsa. We use all the social media outlets. I mean, our Facebook is very, very active. Most of our campaigns nowadays are done through social media. So whether it's lobbying the media, the parliament, whether it's on an international scale to make aware of what is happening in Masjid al-Aqsa and around Palestine, around Baytul Maqdis, this is done through social media. So I would recommend all those people who are listening to either join Friends of Al-Aqsa Facebook website, Twitter, and so forth, or they in their own countries also start a medium in which they promote this. So the other thing is you don't want to become simply somebody who forwards images or text or messages. You should become activists. By forwarding messages, really, you're undermining the very principle of activism. Because by simply sending out something somebody is doing, you think you've done something, and that could be really counterproductive in the long run. So while social media is very, very important, and I recommend everybody to be part of it, and I'm sure they already are, but we should avoid simply being signposters of messages. What we should try and do is we should act on it and then forward it. And I think that's very, very important for us, not only regarding the Palestinian issue, but all the issue as well. Whenever we get information, if that information requires us to act on it, either to write an email or to inform other people or to lobby in particularly, for example, if it's about to do with boycott or if there's a media story that we need to act against, then that should be acted upon and then forwarded to the rest of the community. That way, we'll create a good network of people who are real, true activists and who can bring about a change.
Most certainly. Any closing remarks from yourself? Any advice that you have to give to young social media warriors or to activists or to the local imams and the musallis themselves, how we could use the opportunity of our masajid and Islamic centers perhaps to create that awareness of Aqsa or our Islamic schools as well?
Sure, I would like to put it in two parts really, that Islamic history and heritage and our love for everything part of Islam is based on basically the Quran, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our own past history. If we look at those three aspects, we'll see that in the Holy Quran, Masjid al-Aqsa is central. In fact, it is the only masjid mentioned by name apart from the Haram of Makkah. So that is very, very important. The second aspect is all the prophets that we can think of, from Ibrahim al-Islam, Yaqub al-Islam, Yusuf al-Islam, Musa al-Islam, Dawud al-Islam, Suleiman al-Islam, Zakariya al-Islam, even Maryam al-Islam, Isa al-Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them have got indirect or direct connection with Baytul Maqdis. This land has made waqf by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the land of Baitul Maqdis. It was the first Qibla of Islam. These all aspects should make it important for us and important for the masajid and the imams and the khatibs to be able to talk about this importance regularly. And that should be enough for every Muslim to understand how central and important Masjid al-Aqsa is. This is in fact the barometer, the freedom and the plight of Masjid al-Aqsa is a barometer of the level of iman of the Muslim ummah globally. And we have to be central to this, and we need to do whatever we can in whichever country we're living to be able to change the end the occupation and to change the situation of the Palestinian people. And I think that would be my parting message, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. You have, as always, again, as through your books and your work, continue to inspire us, to enlighten us, to remind us, and I think to remind us that there is so much more we can and we should be doing. May Allah bless you and your efforts and your works, and may it continue to be a reward for you, and may we all continue to benefit from that and follow in those footsteps. Jazakumullah khairan for your time today and for sharing these enlightening advices and words with us.
Wa alaikum assalam
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Ismail Adam Batal talking to us about Masjid al-Aqsa, the need for awareness, the need for creating and disseminating that information and using it as a means to work towards the liberation of Al-Aqsa. He shared with us how 20 odd years ago, when he travels for the first time, coming back to realize there was so much more about Al-Aqsa and writing his books. I will mention the books once more, so if there's anyone who would like to purchase them, you could do so. It was Virtues of Jerusalem, an Islamic Perspective, and Palestine, Beginner's Guide. The books are, if I recall, available in most South African Muslim bookstores. It's 38 minutes past the hour of 10 Central Africa time. It is a special edition program. We're talking Aqsana, our Aqsa, here on Radio Islam International. We go for a short break, and when we return, more about the virtues and significance of Aqsa, and we open the lines and ask you to share with us your experience of visiting Masjid al-Aqsa. Stay with us. On the program today, before the break, we spoke to Brother Ismail Adam Patel of Friends of Al-Aqsa. He spoke to us about his personal journey experience of going to Aqsa more than 20 years ago, and that then motivated the publications that he has written. He spoke also about the importance of education and awareness and the need to begin, and how Aqsa is intertwined into our Islamic history, culture, and heritage. The need for us to have programs of awareness, talk about Aqsa, pray for Aqsa. He spoke about how often we ask others to pray for us when they go to Mecca and Medina, Munawwara, but what about Aqsa? Or to remember Aqsa in our du'as and to think about it. He said something very profound, that we should make Al-Aqsa part of the daily fabric of our conversations and of our lives. And if there's any challenge you're ready to take up today, it should be that. How often do we talk about Al-Aqsa in our homes or pray for it? How often do we remind and teach our children, be they our own children or our students, about Masjid al-Aqsa? It's part of our legacy, it's part of our history as Muslims. It is the first Qibla of Islam. We know that as Muslims, Masjid al-Aqsa sanctuary was the scene for the most extraordinary gathering in the history of mankind, when every prophet that ever lived was gathered together for a congregational salah behind Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa was the first Qibla in Islam, and it has been a significant and important place of worship for the prophets of Islam. So, when we're talking about Masjid al-Aqsa, are we just talking about one particular masjid? We think of Masjid al-Aqsa as the building at the southernmost corner of the mosque. In actual fact, that is the Qibli Masjid. And it's called the Qibli Masjid for one important reason, because it is the closest to the Qibla. The whole mount, and if you'd like to know and try to picture what I'm talking about, check our latest tweet with the hashtag OurAqsa. And if you're on Twitter right now, checking out the Twitter feed, in this recent, the last tweet that we sent out, picture labeled number one, shows us, it's got the red marking around it, it's a picture courtesy of Friends of Aqsa, Can you see the red marking on it? Well, that's the boundary of Masjid al-Aqsa. And all of the land within these walls represent Masjid al-Aqsa. So it is not just one masjid. There are other sites as well. There's the Marwani Masjid, the Buraq Masjid. Now, Masjid al-Aqsa was built 40 years after Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. There is a difference of opinion among scholars as to who exactly built Masjid al-Aqsa. And some scholars and historians assert the view that al-Masjid al-Aqsa was built by Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and others who are of the opinion that Masjid al-Aqsa was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. It has been built, rebuilt, renovated, and expanded many times in the history of Islam. Now here's another incredible fact. Did you know that the Blessed Land is mentioned no less than 70 times in the Quran? 14 of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's selected are mentioned by name in the Quran and Hadith, and they've lived in Palestine. Among them, the most notable are Ibrahim, Ismail, Lut, Ishaq, Ya'qub, Shu'aib, Musa, Yusha, Dawood, Sulaiman, Zakariya, Isa, and Yahya alayhim salam. It is recorded in a hadith where a Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, which mosque, which masjid was first built on the surface of the earth? He said, Al-Masjid al-Haram, meaning in Mecca. I said, meaning the Sahabi, which was built next? He replied, the Mosque of Al-Aqsa. I said, كَمْ كَانَ بَيْنَهُمَا, what was the period of construction between the two? And he said, أَرْبَعُونَ سَنَةً, 40 years. Al-Aqsa was a well-known place of worship at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and for his son Ishaq alayhi salam, and his grandson Ya'qub alayhi salam. So when Ya'qub alayhi salam's son Yusuf alayhi salam attained a position of power in Egypt, he asked his family to join him and escape the poverty that engulfed Palestine. We also know that during Musa alayhi salam's time, the people had voluntarily, the Israelites had voluntarily migrated to Egypt, and they were seeking a better life, right? We know the Israelites rejected the orders of Allah to return to Palestine, and so they were commanded to live and wander through the desert of Sinai for 40 years. And this ended when a new generation was born. Within them, amongst them, was Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, and he led a generation of believers to Palestine. Al-Aqsa is also the land that Allah commanded Musa alayhi salam to rescue, but he passed away before reaching it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Al-Aqsa as being sanctified, and he says, يَا قَوْمِ دْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. O my people, enter the holy land which Allah has assigned to you. Al-Aqsa is also the city where Allah delayed the sunset in order for one of his prophets, Yusha alayhi salam, to fight the disbelievers until he recaptured it from them. And this is mentioned in volume 1 of Bidayah wa Nihaya. Al-Aqsa is where Isa alayhi salam, Isa bin Maryam, was honored with Allah's message and prophethood. Allah tells us in the Quran, Al-Aqsa is also the land where Dawood alayhi salam ruled from Bayt al-Maqdis. Sulaiman alayhi salam, his son, also ruled from there. And it was in Al-Aqsa that Sulaiman alayhi salam, his ruh, was taken while he was in salah in an area of Masjid al-Aqsa. as we're joining the dots and you're beginning to see how intertwined each of the prophets, the main prophet alayhi wasalam's lives were with Masjid al-Aqsa, I hope that it increases and it strengthens your love and reverence to Masjid al-Aqsa. That we remind ourselves and we realize how blessed this land is. That we realize how full of history it is, how sanctified and holy it is, and hence we call it Al-Quds. We'd love to hear from you. You can WhatsApp as well, or you can phone in live at our Johannesburg studios, or email and share with us, what was it like the first time you saw Masjid al-Aqsa? What was the feeling like being in the Aqsa sanctuary, in the land of Masjid al-Aqsa? Did you go for ziyarah? What did you see? What did you do? What were your memories? Allow us to experience Al-Aqsa through your eyes and ears. You can call in live on our program here at our Johannesburg studios, 011-854-1548, and share with us your Masjid al-Aqsa experiences. You can email to us, Rayhana, R-A-Y-H-A-A-N-A-H, @gmail.com, or via WhatsApp to +60132608592. We are tweeting with the hashtag Our Aqsa, OURAQSA, where you can follow live tweeting, updates from our guests, and key points about Masjid al-Aqsa. Thus far, we've spoken to Brother Ismail Adam Patel of Friends of Al-Aqsa in the United Kingdom, sharing with us the need for there to be awareness and education about Masjid al-Aqsa. We've also thereafter spoken now about Masjid al-Aqsa being connected to many of the great prophets that have lived or made da'wah, that were born and even passed away in the land of Al-Quds. All of this, including the Quranic references, which are too many for us to mention on one program, more about the Holy Land of Palestine. How these prophets alayhimu salam were born and lived and made da'wah, where angels brought down the message to them, where they were tried and tested, where they were successful and victorious at other times in spreading the message, where groups and families of believers flourished and lived, the likes of Al-Imran, the family of Imran alayhimu salam, to which an entire surah in the Quran is named after them. But Aqsa also has to do with the amazing personalities among the women too, the likes of Hanna and Maryam, may Allah be pleased with them both. Women who symbolize strength, courage and faith. Masjid al-Aqsa teaches us lessons about our history. Masjid al-Aqsa is a part of our past and our present and our future as Muslims too. We've spoken thus far about Masjid al-Aqsa and the far past, the past that Masjid al-Aqsa has involved with the other prophets of Allah. And when it comes to the final messenger, Allah's beloved, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah, the mercy to mankind, Masjid al-Aqsa had a special place in his heart, and he was very deeply connected to Al-Aqsa. What was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's connection to Masjid al-Aqsa? Al-Masjid al-Aqsa had a very unique place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for many reasons. Firstly, as Masjid al-Aqsa was central to the lives of many of his fellow prophets alayhi wasalam, with whom he shared an exceptional bond, it is a continuation and a completion and a perfection of the religion and the message of Tawheed preached by all the prophets of Allah, including Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Dawood, Sulaiman, and Isa alayhimus salam, to name a few. Masjid al-Aqsa also by definition had a central place in the heart and life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that up until the second year of Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the small group of believers turned and faced Masjid al-Aqsa as the direction, as the Qibla for Salah. In his lifetime though, the most memorable reason why Masjid al-Aqsa has such significance is because it was the place to which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled on the night of Isra. And it was from the location to which he made his Mi'raj to the heavens. The journey of Isra was such a momentous occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses relating to this journey in the Qur'an. It's an ayah we mentioned at the beginning. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِرِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِرِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَقْنَ حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Glorified be He who did take His servant for a journey by night from al-Masjir al-Haram to al-Masjir al-Aqsa, whose precincts we did bless, in order that we might show him some of our signs. Verily, he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Surah 17, verse 1. This, Masjid al-Aqsa, this is the place from which the most beloved of Allah, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, initiated his ascent to the heavens. It was our Qibla in the early stages of Islam. And it was an abode and a place of refuge, a sanctuary for many of the prophets of Allah, and the place where revelations upon revelations descended. It is the masjid where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led salah with the closest angels to Allah there, where Rasulullah, Imam al-Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gracefully walked through the confines of the noble sanctuary, being greeted audibly with salam by the blessed trees and stones that lined the road to the spot where Jibreel alayhi salam spread his wings to usher al-Shafi' al-Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take up his position as the lead. According to some historical accounts, more than 124,000 messengers prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Aqsa, it is our symbol of unity, unity of purpose in achieving the pleasure of Allah. The status of Masjid al-Aqsa is tremendous, and there are many Quranic references to the land of Masjid al-Aqsa being blessed. There are hadith, many ahadith on Masjid al-Aqsa, on its virtue, on why Masjid al-Aqsa is so very important to us. But as we draw closer to the end of this hour and prepare for our news bulletin at 11, I'm going to recap what we've spoken about in this past hour, and that is the reasons why Masjid al-Aqsa should form an important aspect of a believer's dedication. Masjid al-Aqsa is the first Qibla of the Muslims. Masjid al-Aqsa is the station of al-Isra and Mi'raj. It is the second house of Allah built on earth. Masjid al-Aqsa is the place where hundreds of messengers of Allah are buried, where many companions radiallahu anhum are buried. It is a place where miracles were shown by Allah's will, a place which Allah himself calls a blessed place. It is referred to directly and indirectly 70 times in the Qur'an. It is the only masjid mentioned by name in the Qur'an aside from the Kaaba. I hope that our first hour together with the interview and with sharing with you how our Islamic histories always intertwine to Al-Aqsa instills a deeper love and reverence for Islam's forgotten haram, for Islam's first qibla. You've been listening to Aqsana, Our Aqsa, a special feature this Monday morning. We go for our nasheed about Al-Aqsa, the news thereafter, and when we return in the second half of the hour, you can look forward to another interview, this time with an imam who travels frequently to Al-Aqsa, and we'll ask him to share with us more of his memories. We'll also be talking about sacred places within the Aqsa sanctuary, and time permitting, we'll play an interview that Maulana Sulaiman Rava did with Maulana Sulaiman Mulla on his experience and incredible journey to Al-Aqsa. One of the best ways to convey our emotion and feeling is through the written word, and one of them is through a poem that then became an nasheed called Palestine. It says, Palestine, Palestine, O Palestine, on your land Allah placed great signs. Though the world sees your scars and hears your cries, Allah is your guard, somehow you'll survive. On that blessed night, our Prophet's journey, when all prophets arrived there miraculously, in the Mosque Al-Aqsa, Allah chose thee. You're blessed that your land was touched by their feet. A history so great have we forgotten. All faiths lived together in peace, did they not? Together they lived for the sake of God, a time you were held much sacred at heart. When I look to the people around me today, there's freedom of speech, yet they're afraid. It saddens my heart that it is this way. Can't we stand for justice? I feel ashamed. Oh, convey our oppressed ones wherever you are. We're with you right now. You're in our du'as. May the lost souls be among the shuhada. May your loved ones have reached their place in Jannah. The violence continues. Bloodshed on streets. Children are dying now as we speak. We pray for the guidance of your enemies. We pray for your homeland. You will be free. The words to a nasheed entitled Palestine initially began as a poem and then moved into becoming a nasheed. And in that way, that's another beautiful way to express yourself through poetry, through spoken word, through nasheed, through essays and articles. If you're the type of person who prefers the written word and you're comfortable with that, then use that skill or talent to talk about and create awareness about the basic information about Masjid al-Aqsa. On the program today, we are going to be talking about the importance and why should you visit Masjid al-Aqsa? Why should you make it a point that it's on your list of things to do as Muslim is to pray in Masjid al-Aqsa? And we'll take it from two ahadith. The one Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "You should not undertake a special journey to visit any place other than the following three masajid, with the exception of getting greater reward: the sacred Masjid of Mecca, this Masjid of mine, and Masjid al-Aqsa." In another narration, the words are, "For three masajid, a special journey may be undertaken: the sacred Masjid, my Masjid, and the Masjid of Al-Quds." And the hadith is mentioned in Al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and the Sunan of Abu Dawood. The second hadith that should motivate each one of us to want to pray in Aqsa is, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The prayer of a person in his house is a single prayer. His prayer in the masjid of his tribe has the reward of 25 prayers. His prayer in the masjid in which the Friday prayer is observed has the reward of 500. His prayer in Masjid al-Aqsa, that is the Al-Aqsa sanctuary, has a reward of 5,000 prayers. His prayer in my masjid, meaning Masjid al-Nabawi, has a reward of 50,000 prayers. And the prayer in the sacred masjid, Masjid al-Haram, at Mecca, has a reward of 100,000 prayers." The hadith is mentioned in the works of Imam At-Tirmidhi and by Ibn Majah. And so there we have it, the motivation, the importance, the need of why we should pray in Masjid al-Aqsa and why we should want to pray in Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are able to pray in Masjid al-Aqsa, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the honor of that and accept from us this ibadah of praying in Masjid al-Aqsa. Before the break, we spoke about why Masjid al-Aqsa is so important to all Muslims and why it's so important to our Islamic history, our Islamic culture and heritage. We've spoken now about the importance of visiting Masjid al-Aqsa and the great virtue of praying in Masjid al-Aqsa. There is tremendous virtue on wearing the ihram for Masjid al-Aqsa, where in one hadith mentioned by Abu Dawood that the person who puts the ihram for Hajj or Umrah from Masjid al-Aqsa and then proceeds to the Kaaba for the Umrah or the Hajj, their past and future sins will be forgiven and they will be entered into paradise. We know that Masjid al-Aqsa itself, and just giving to Masjid al-Aqsa, be it in the form of light, as in the hadith of Maymuna radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, who relates that she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, inform us about Bayt al-Maqdis, and he said, visit it for prayer. And she further asked, if one of us cannot visit it, what should we do? He said, if you cannot go for prayer, then send some oil to be used for its lamps. Will be as if he has prayed in it. This is about Masjid al-Aqsa. This is about the land that Allah has blessed, the land that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sanctified. We're now going to go for our second interview of this feature program, and we speak to another very special guest joining us on the program, another individual who is making tremendous inroads in the fields of awareness and education about Masjid al-Aqsa, and doing so very directly. We speak to Mawlana Musa Badat of Lanasia in South Africa, a very passionate scholar and a travel guide about Masjid al-Aqsa. He's been assisting Muslims from South Africa to visit Masjid al-Aqsa for a number of years. We understand that he's currently with a group of approximately 30 people in Mecca to Mukarrama after just returning from Palestine. Let's find out more, shall we? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Is Mawlana speaking to us live from Makkah al-Mukarrama?
Actually, I'm now in Madinah al-Munawwara, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah, taqabbalallah. Mawlana, take us through this experience of going to Masjid al-Aqsa. For many people listening today, we're doing a feature about the Islamic significance of Al-Aqsa Sanctuary. We know that you have had the good fortune of going and many times and helping people to go there and to experience the beauty, the amazing experience that Masjid al-Aqsa promises. Can you perhaps share with us this, a bit about the most recent trip to you that you went on? Yeah. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum. Let's try and get Mawlana Badat again on the line. Mawlana Musa, assalamu alaikum. Okay, we're going to try and get Mawlana Badat back on the line and like to know from him the experience of the group and what it's like to be going to Masjid al-Aqsa. Many of us hearing about it may never have been ourselves, but let's find out and we'll get back to him as soon as we can and share with you more about this experience. Amazing feeling to go to Masjid al-Aqsa itself. It's like the other haram in the sense that people can describe it to you, but it's only when you've gone yourself that you realize what an incredible, spiritual, heavenly place Palestine is. When you're in the Aqsa Sanctuary, there's such a peace and a calm that you feel. There's a nur and a light that you will experience. And you start actually living history. Wherever you go in the Aqsa Sanctuary, you are in a place where history was made. Okay? Mawlana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think I lost you for a moment there.
Jazakumullah. Maulana, your group has completed their visit to Al-Aqsa, to Palestine, alhamdulillah. Take us through a bit about what a group would do. When people are curious, when you say as a group of people going to Palestine, what do they do when they go to Palestine? What are some of the things that they get to see? Inspire us.
Well, basically, Palestine is an awesome place. Masjid Al-Aqsa is super. Just before we take you on to that journey, I have to meet somebody that is coming to Palestine either through the airport or either through the Jordan Allenby border and is not afraid or not scared or not nervous. Yet, alhamdulillah, once everybody passes through that formality and now comes towards Aqsa, it's more astonishment to say that it was so easy, that Allah had made it so easy, and all the fears that they had were for nothing. So alhamdulillah, when we get to Aqsa, the first thing naturally we do is we go to Masjid al-Aqsa, we enter the Haram area, and as soon as you enter into that area, there's a certain amount of peace that descends upon you. For myself, it's like when you're sitting on the mataf in front of the Kaaba, or when you're sitting in the Rawda Mubarak of Madinatul Munawwara, it's a similar feeling that one would enjoy when coming to into Masjid al-Aqsa. The people around Aqsa, the Palestinians, they are totally different breed. You will not find more humble people, more generous people, more people that love to see Muslims coming to Masjid al-Aqsa. I just recall one greeting that when they know you speak Arabic or you know a little of Arabic, they would call you, and when they welcome you, they will say Ahlan wa Sahlan, which is the normal welcome greeting. But then they would say something else. They would say Sharraftuna. Sharraftuna means you have honored us. And this is the humbleness that they come from when you think that they are the Murabitun, as mentioned in the Hadith. They are the protectors of Aqsa, yet they tell you that you have honored us. So Masjid al-Aqsa is indescribable. A person has to visit it to understand what I'm talking about.
Subhanallah, indeed. You bring tears to the eyes. It brings back a personal experience as well, having traveled back 10 years. And as you said, so much of peace that descends, when you're there. Well, you're taking groups, people who've never been before, the first time they've been. What are some of the responses, once they've been to the Aqsa Sanctuary, once they've prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa, what are some of the responses you can recall of what people say? Like, what were they expecting? And then when they get there themselves, and then they're completely blown away, like you said, amazing place.
Well, the most common request or the most common response is, Maulana, can't we extend our stay in Aqsa?
Allahu Akbar.
You know, before, when you tell them you're spending 5 days in Aqsa, they will tell you, or 5 or 6 days, they will tell you, isn't it too long? Yet, the minute they enter Aqsa, and the minute they experience Aqsa itself, The request will come. Is there no way that we can delay our departure from Aqsa? Can't we spend a few extra days? The other responses you get was, oh, the people are so wonderful. Oh, the Masjid Aqsa itself, because the current structure that is standing is more than 900 years old. So there is no trimmings on it. There is no big chandeliers, new chandeliers and marble and things like that. And it's that beauty. Many express that the beauty of Masjid al-Aqsa nowadays is in its ancientness. That you feel that you are going back into time. When you go into one of the areas of Masjid al-Aqsa, which is known as Musalla Marwani, and towards the eastern corner of that area, that is where the historians say they are unanimous that that would be the area where Sayyida Maryam used to seclude herself. People go there and they feel that it's enveloping them with spiritualness and with tranquility. So alhamdulillah, the experience in Aqsa, in the Masjid al-Aqsa is something else. And then when we go out to the West Bank, alhamdulillah, we have the opportunity of going to Khalil. The locals term it as Haramul Khalil. Khalil or Hebron, the place where Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, Sayyida Rifqa, Sayyida Sarah, Nabi Yusuf, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, where they lay buried. That's another important area where we go to, and the people visit it and they meet the people around there. So alhamdulillah, like I said, this is like going into history.
Mm-hmm.
And then an additional thing that we try to indicate to the people, the suffering of the Palestinians, the oppression that they go through. We normally go through Ramallah, through the Qalandiyah mm-hmm. checkpoint. This is the most important checkpoint in the West Bank. And normally when there are uprisings or where there is demonstrations, this place is highlighted in the news and on the media, the Qalandiyah checkpoint, which we normally go through to explain to the people what the Palestinians have to go through. Ramallah is about maximum 10 kilometers from from Al-Aqsa itself. Yet if you were a resident in Ramallah, if you are a resident in the West Bank, then without permission from the Israeli authorities, you would not be allowed to go and pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Hmm. SubhanAllah. Maulana, asking you, you've been doing this for a number of years, and just listening to you speak is inspiring me to pray and hope that inshallah I get to go one day again, hopefully with your group, with my family. What inspires you? What inspires you to do this, to keep taking groups? And I know it's not an easy journey, especially at the borders and even within sometimes. What inspires you to keep taking people back? How have you found this like your life calling?
For me and my family, alhamdulillah, we have truly been blessed, because our actual residence now is in Madinatul Munawwara. We take Masjid Al-Aqsa as our second home. What really inspires one is that if I look back 10, 15 years ago, what Masjid Al-Aqsa was then and how it has been transformed by people visiting it. I normally tell my people that about 15 years ago, for Fajr Salah in Masjid Al-Aqsa, if we had one full surf, it was too much.
SubhanAllah.
For the Jumu'ah Salah, we wouldn't be able to even fill half of the Masjid. There were times when the Imam was made to make Imamat in the last surf of the Masjid. So your first surf would be outside the Masjid, giving the impression to the Yahud that the Masjid is full. Alhamdulillah, now for those that visit Masjid Al-Aqsa, will bear testimony to the fact that for Fajr Salah, almost half the masjid is full, though others are restricted from entering there. For the Salatul Jumu'ah, the first Jumu'ah which we prayed in Masjid Al-Aqsa, it was estimated that there was a crowd of about 80,000 worshippers. And for those that join us for their itikaf in the month of Ramadan, last year it was estimated that during the Laylatul Qadr, the 27th night of Ramadan, there was estimated to be 550,000 people in Masjid Al-Aqsa. So this is what is encouraging, that more people from all over the world are visiting Aqsa. Alhamdulillah, a few years ago, South Africa held the record of the most foreign visitors to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Since then, we've had the Muslims from Turkey started coming in. You have people, Muslims from Indonesia now, Malaysia, Singapore, Mauritius, the UK, from all around the world that are now coming back to Masjid Al-Aqsa. And this just encourages one to want to bring more and more and more and have Masjid Al-Aqsa so full that it is like how we see Mecca and Medina during the Hajj period. We would want Masjid Al-Aqsa to be that. I mean, let the ulama say that notwithstanding the fact that Masjid Al-Aqsa was the second Masjid built, or was our first Qibla, or was the place where all the Anbiya stood together in Salah, being led by our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Notwithstanding all those facts, but only the Isra and the Mi'raj, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. If Allah wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have taken Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly from Mecca to the heavens, given him the gift of Salah, and returned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly back to Mecca. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Masjid Al-Aqsa as the transit point. If that was the only reason for the blessedness of Masjid al-Aqsa, it would suffice. So alhamdulillah, seeing more and more people coming there. Alhamdulillah, on our tours, we also go to the orphanage. Now hear this, there's an orphanage in a place called Azariya. The name of this orphanage is Jil al-Amal. It has, at any given time, between 75 to 80 young boys in there, from the age of 2 till the age of 12. Each and every one of their children are Muslim. The caretaker is a Muslim. The teachers and the caregivers, they are Muslim. The entire board is Muslim. Yet this orphanage is being funded by a church from Canada.
Allahu Akbar.
So it is things like this that make us want to go back and want to see how we can make an impact in the land of Palestine.
One of the people, you know, will say, okay, they're going to Makkah al-Mukarramah, they're going to Medina Munawwara, they understand why they're going there. Why many people, like you said, are afraid before they get there or on the way there at the borders, etc. What lessons can a Muslim traveler learn from visiting Masjid al-Aqsa?
Well, the greatest lesson I think I have learned is one of humility, is one of that you have to be, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He has given you. One of the fact that this is the place that can unite the Muslim Ummah. With all our differences that we have, and it's unfortunate that we are so divided, yet the Muslims can unite on this one very fact that Aqsa is in danger. Aqsa is under siege. And it is the Muslim Ummah, together with the unity of the Muslim Ummah, that we can uplift the siege of Masjid al-Aqsa. Just another point that I would like to bring to the attention. Alhamdulillah, our groups now, when we go to Masjid al-Aqsa, and we've noticed that, alhamdulillah, most of the South African groups do this, and I encourage more and more to do this, is that we tie the ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa for the umrah from Masjid al-Aqsa. And because there is a hadith, something to this effect, that somebody, whoever ties the ihram from Aqsa and then proceeds for hajj or for umrah, then all their sins are forgiven, or that person will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Now initially when we started tying the ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa, the locals were astonished. Understand one thing, local Palestinians, when they come for Umrah or for Hajj, they travel by bus. A bus journey from Aqsa to Medina could take anything between 2.5 to 3 days. So their preferred destination is first Medina to Munawwara. Then when proceeding for Hajj or for Umrah, they will tie the ihram at the miqat in Medina by Dhul Hulayfa, and then proceed for the Hajj or for the Umrah. So initially when we started doing this, they were astonished, they were amazed. And one sheikh also told us that initially he had thought that this was some sort of innovation or bid'ah. And then he went back into the books of history and the books of our hadith, and he had found that no, there was an authentic hadith which gives the virtues of tying ihram in Aqsa. And more so, many great sahaba radiallahu anhu, from the likes of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, had personally come to Masjid al-Aqsa just with the near of tying the ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa and performing the umrah. So what this has done was, it has uplifted Masjid al-Aqsa. Not that it was necessary, but in today's time when people were forgetting, and unfortunately when the locals also were forgetting the importance of this place, now when you journey from 8,000 kilometers away, you journey to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then you show respect to Masjid al-Aqsa by tying your ihram there, and then proceeding for umrah, has given that more importance for Masjid al-Aqsa. And this has motivated the Palestinians. Remember one thing, we might think that when we do our marching or when we do our demonstrations, what can it help? The Palestinian will tell you that you do not have to go in jihad. Your jihad is just to come to Masjid al-Aqsa, khalas. We will protect Masjid al-Aqsa for you, but you have to come to Masjid al-Aqsa. So that is the inspiration that we get from this blessed place and the people residing therein.
Alhamdulillah, you are very, very fortunate. Allah has chosen His special servants for this. May Allah accept from you and increase you in goodness and protect you and allow many more people to benefit from your dedication and passion to Masjid al-Aqsa, inshaAllah. Ameen.
Ameen, inshaAllah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the opportunity of visiting this Mubarak place. Whenever I tell people that it is a wonderful place, people enjoy themselves there. The spirituality is something else. It's not like you're going into a military place, or it's not like you're going into a prison where there is no food, there is no proper accommodation, you're going to suffer. No, on the contrary, alhamdulillah, people you have a spiritually uplifting and enjoyable time. So don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody scare you to say Masjid al-Aqsa, to go there is difficult, you're putting yourself in danger. I normally joke about it that myself and my family, we're more safe in Masjid al-Aqsa than in South Africa. So the God is, wherever you want to go, even if you want to go on your own, the radio station has got my details. If you need any assistance, any guidance, any assurances, you could send me an email, you could WhatsApp me. But please, if you intend to go, whether it's going for Umrah, whether it's going for Hajj, whether it's going for a week to Dubai in the Middle East, or to Turkey and to Spain, please include Masjid al-Aqsa in that itinerary, and you will never ever regret it, I promise you that.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah for inspiring and motivating our listeners, Mawlana, on the special feature program called Aqsana. May Allah accept from you and alhamdulillah, inshallah, many more. We hope that inspired by your words will make this their next destination, most certainly. Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana.
Jazakumullah. Just one short message for my family, because they are not here with me in Medina. And they may be envious of it. I just want to tell them that inshallah, in the night of Isra and Mi'raj, we will be with the group in Masjid al-Aqsa, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana, for your time. And remember all of us in your du'as in the Holy Land, inshallah.
Wa alaikum as-salam. Jazakumullah for having me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mawlana Musa Badar, currently a resident of Madinah Al Munawwara, who does take groups to the Haramain, including Masjid al-Aqsa, sharing with us, motivating us passionately about the need for us to visit Masjid al-Aqsa, about the amazing, inspirational, spiritual journey of a lifetime that it truly is. And if anything, this should inspire you and motivate you to start saving, to start praying for going there, and to start hoping that you, inshallah, will have the opportunity of a lifetime to visit Masjid al-Aqsa. It's 40 minutes past the hour of 11 Central African Time and 40 minutes past the hour of 5 here in Malaysia. We go for our ad break, and when we return, more on the other side of this about motivating you to love, respect, and want to go to Masjid al-Aqsa. Stay with us. Turning now to your messages, and many of them coming, listening to the interviews, some of you asking for the names of the books of Brother Ismail Adam Patel, who we interviewed in the hour. I've messaged you that directly. And many of you sharing, saying that yes, listening to Mawlana Musa Badat reminds you of your journey to Al-Aqsa. MashaAllah, glad to know that it's bringing back wonderful memories. One message says, Assalamu alaikum. Perhaps the most peaceful place in the world that I've been in has been Masjid al-Aqsa. Nothing can compare to it. There's something so beautiful about the ancient history that's all preserved. Nothing fancy or glitzy like the other Haramain. Something about it that has so much of nur to it. It was one of the highlights of my life. If there's any place I could go to again and again in my life, other than the other Haramain, it would be also Masjid al-Aqsa. MashaAllah. Another message says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I thought to phone in, but I just want to keep hearing you and your guests. There's so much that reminds us about Masjid al-Aqsa, and so much that we don't know about in our history. As you spoke about the prophets of Allah and those that lived in Al-Aqsa, I kept gasping to myself, realizing I don't know any of this, which means I don't know how important Al-Aqsa is to us and to our Islamic identity. Absolutely, it is part and parcel of your identity as a Muslim, part and parcel of your Islamic identity. The next message says, whenever I think of Masjid al-Aqsa, I think of Isra and Mi'raj, and that means a lot to me. Masjid al-Aqsa, although I've never been in my life, will always hold a special place because of the Isra and Mi'raj. Jazakumullah for a wonderful program, an unusual topic, and we have learned so much from you. Wa iyyak. The next message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ukhti. When I hear Mi'raj, the words journey and gift comes to mind. An incident that placed the crown of honor upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the gift of salah to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah at large, subhanallah. And another word that comes to mind is tashahud, the conversation that took place on that night between Allah and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most definitely, Al-Aqsa, the place that Allah chose to be as that station before heading into the heavens for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You notice the common thread of all of our guests speaking with such passion and love for Masjid Al-Aqsa, for its precincts, for the holiness and sacredness of this blessed land. As we prepare to bring the program to a close, we're going to play out to you an interview that took place between Maulana Sulaiman Rawat and Maulana Sulaiman Mullah, where Maulana Rawat interviews Maulana Sulaiman Mullah on his experience and journey to Al-Aqsa. We listen as he recounts what it's like to be in Masjid Al-Aqsa. We thank you, Jazakumullah Khairan, for listening in to today's live edition of Aqsana as we began discovering the Islamic history and our link to one of our most holiest sites. We hope inspires you to pray for Aqsa, to pray to go there yourself, and to continue loving it, its people, and its sanctuary. Jazakumullah Khairan, and we leave you now with this interview about Maulana Sulaiman Mullah's experience and journey to Al-Aqsa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We cross over now to Masjid Al-Aqsa, and joining us on the line, we have well-known scholar and orator Maulana Sulaiman Mullah Sahib. Maulana, Jazakumullah for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners, Maulana.
Mana, indeed, you amongst the fortunate ones making i'tikaf, or spending a few days of i'tikaf in Masjid Al-Aqsa. Tell us about your experience thus far, the atmosphere.
Gee, alhamdulillah, Mana. You know, there's been so much that has been happening, and alhamdulillah, we were four brothers here from South Africa that decided very much in the last minute that if we could try and come here a few days during the last 10 nights, and more so in particular the 27th night, because obviously the buzz is really, really electrifying and it's really great. So alhamdulillah, Allah made it possible and all formalities fell into place. And we left from Johannesburg via Egypt. Alhamdulillah, we arrived in Jordan. Everything went fine. And then obviously we arrived on a Saturday, so that we couldn't opt for the closest border possible due to the Saturday and the Sabbath. So we had to go right up to the Sheikh Hussein border. Alhamdulillah, in relation to many of the other brothers, I think our procedures were relatively good. We had about over 3 hours stay there, and ultimately, alhamdulillah, we made our way in. So the good thing, Maulana, as you know, that every year there is an awakening, there is a discussion, and our brothers are coming in more and more numbers. And yesterday I had a private session and a personal address to our South African mu'takifin, and alhamdulillah, this particular year they have exceeded the 300 mark. So they are very well represented, they are very well connected, they are very well established. It is absolutely amazing to see how over the years this relation has advanced, and it has snowballed, and it has continued to increase. So it was a very heartening sight. Coupled with that, there is a fair chunk and a sizable number of them that are youth in middle to late 20s, alhamdulillah. So the real good thing was, Maulana, obviously you know you've been here, and I guess many of our other listeners will identify with our sentiments. I just hope the line keeps on. We are driving now on the way to Al-Khalil, and from there we're going to Baitul Laham, Bethlehem, and then we're heading towards the borders again. But inshallah, hopefully the reception remains intact. So as I was saying to you last night, being the 27th of Ramadan, very much accepted here as Laylatul Qadr, as much as they exhort and encourage people. So yesterday the crowds were just overflowing. It was an absolutely spectacular sight. It was mind-boggling. I'm going to be estimating if I give you figures and numbers, but it ranged from half a million onwards, so are we told. The numbers were absolutely jam-packed. It was quite a daunting task getting across through the old Jerusalem and getting into the Haram and then making, you know, your iftar there. But alhamdulillah, like I said, our brothers are very well connected, and I had the good opportunity and the fortune, if I may say, of making an iftar right there adjacent to the mihrab alongside the a'imma. And alhamdulillah, they have great respect and reverence and regard for South Africans, and in particular our ulama as well. They insisted on me, and I was very reluctant initially to have an address from the front as well in Arabic. But alhamdulillah, with consulting with local other people, and they said it's an opportunity that should be taken on. So that also, alhamdulillah, was accommodated. So alhamdulillah, it was a night of absolute spirituality. It was a night of absolute activity. The Isha Salah was on about 9-ish. The Haram was packed from every possible angle. I must add that with all the numbers and everything, repeatedly there's announcements to segregate, to maintain discipline and order to the best of their ability. And one needs to salute it and identify and respect it in relation to all the other challenges that they do have. Obviously, the dua of Khatmul Quran took place last night as well in the Witr Salah, which was a very emotional outpour of you know, supplication and echoing across the Haram, and the Ameen resounding right through was very, very moving and captivating. And then obviously we just took a little break, and then the Qiyamul Layl started again at 1 a.m. and that went right up to 30 p.m. So we had a tour also after Asr Salah with one of the brothers, mashallah, of the Aqsa itself, the Burak Masjid, which they refer to as the Wailing Wall. And then obviously I, you know, wanted to see a few things in particular, and I'm sure you've seen it in your trips and your visits. The chamber in the mihrab of Sayyidatina Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, and many other places. The precise location could not be pointed out, but the approximate place or the area where Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was engaged in the extension of Masjid al-Aqsa, and as the Quran makes reference to it, فَلَمَّا خَرَّتْ بَيَّنَتِ الْجِنُّ أَنَّ لَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبَ مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينِ. So in a nutshell, alhamdulillah, it was really good. Speaking to some of our other fellow South Africans, some had long waits at the borders from 8 to 10 hours, others had a breeze. I think we were moderate in between. Alhamdulillah, last night was just an absolute highlight, and was something that really cannot be described, or one cannot extend or run his imagination to that point.
Mm. Mulana, is this your first visit to Masjid al-Aqsa? If so, was there something that really surprised you, that stood out to you, for you, contrary to your expectations? And if you've been previously, comparatively speaking, was there anything outstanding?
Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, Mulana, I said it when I did the address to our South Africans and in the other program. I said I'm elated to be here, and I'm equally sad that it had happened so late. It was something that was on the cards, and we were planning it in advance. But I guess there was, you know, elements of reservations, concerns, and whatever, Allah knows best. It didn't really materialize. But alhamdulillah, yes, it is the first time. I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed in terms of surprise. I said, you know, it's easier to sketch an image of many other places, but Masjid al-Aqsa in particular, and the sanctity and alladhi barakna hawla, the atmosphere, one can literally feel it. I think the good thing was that our visit coincided with the blessed and the sacred month of Ramadan, and more so in the last 10 days, and more precisely the 27th night. There's an absolute culmination of spirituality, and there's an absolute build-up, and then many of those people who unfortunately don't have access throughout the year, they get access somewhat, the security measures are somewhat relaxed, thereby allowing an easier access and a freer flow. So speaking to many others who do it throughout the year, who have multiple trips and tours here, but them also witnessing 27 night, I think there was consensus that that is an absolute highlight, and that is most electrifying and unique.
Mona, as you mentioned earlier on, that alhamdulillah, many South African brothers have been going in the last few years and sitting for i'tikaf in Masjid al-Aqsa. Surely the locals there are very appreciative of this moral support.
Mona, you just cannot possibly imagine this, describe this in words. The amount of context and relation and brotherhood and affection that is transmitted. I mean, you know, when we say the Arab is known for his ziyafa and for his sidq, this is this is literally loud and clear. His hospitality is most outstanding. So, you know, outside the haram and praying your dhuhr salah, obviously we do know the days are relatively long. You into some, and it's hot. You're looking at close to 40 or beyond. And you see these people walking around with these little water tankers on their back and spraying water on everyone just to cool up the place. And it just creates a bit of a lightness to the whole thing as well. So our South African brothers are well known, very well recognized. They facilitated meeting all the different security, the imma, all the other coordinators of the haram. And, you know, they have a very good, well-established relationship with the local authorities, and they truly and honestly value our relation. We obviously even met the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa among the other imma who recently visited our shores. And if there's one thing common amongst the imma, they all are passionate to come to South Africa. So yes, indeed, the bond, the link, the relation is just absolutely great and awesome, and it's growing day by day. For now, like I said, there were more than 300, and I think perhaps about 100 odd in Sunnat i'tikaf. They obviously were camped and based out in the Marwan section, and that's where we had the address, and that's where we spoke to them. There are many others in Nafal i'tikaf as well. You meet them here and there in Sayri, you know, placing up and down or elsewhere. But, you know, a sizable number, 300 odd. I think in the foreigners that were here, perhaps we were one of the larger, if not the largest group.
Mm. Well, for finally, what are some of the lessons that you've picked up on? What's something that you'll carry with you for the rest of your life in terms of this trip, and perhaps a message to our listeners in terms of Masjid al-Aqsa?
Well, one of the messages is that, you know, we need to know, and alhamdulillah, there is awareness and there is campaigns and there is revivals. We need to know, and we cannot forget. And you know, in the emotion yesterday in the culmination and in the concluding dua of the Imam when he prays for the liberation of Aqsa while standing in Aqsa on the night of Laylatul Qadr, if Allah so wills it to be, that is something that just gives you a shiver down your back. You're listening to the dua in the very blessed place, and you can imagine the cry and the pain and the desperation and the earnestness with which that supplication goes up. It's just absolutely something else. You know, when you're standing in Medina Munawwara, and then you hear the Imam reciting the verse, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan. And now you just imagine that here's the Imam reciting, and he's literally meters away from the Rawdah al-Athar of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and reflecting and contemplating over the meaning just brings a different touch and a different dimension to it. So, alhamdulillah, I think the good thing is that our brothers are becoming aware and conscious and realizing, and you know, the tours have now facilitated this, and it's become a much more common thing where we include in Aqsa in our tours. Surely the Haramain is there, and that continues to happen there. But coupled with that, we also have this added thing. So what I would like to appeal to the brothers is that, yes, indeed, you know, whatever moral support, whatever passion and desire and enthusiasm we have, we got to sustain this, we got to preserve this. You know, we got to educate our younger generations about the value, about the greatness and the significance of Aqsa. And I really want to again put on record my deepest congratulations to our youth. You know, in terms of facilities, in terms of heat, in terms of numbers, surely it's not a very easy or simple form of sunnah i'tikaf to be observed. But notwithstanding all the complexities, it's the passion and the attachment to the sanctity of Aqsa that drives our youth in their numbers. And it was very, very heartening. And I said to them that I hope that inshallah you take back the legacy of Aqsa, the locations where you have stood. You know, the message of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, that's what I can conclude with, that the place is great, the location is great, but Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تُقَدِّسُ أَحَدًا وَإِنَّمَا يُقَدِّسُهُ عَمَلُهُ. That no location, mere attendance or visiting a place elevates a person or makes him sacred. Rather, it's your actions and your virtue that elevate you. So if Allah gives us the opportunity to come here, we need to be extremely grateful to Allah. But what cannot become complacent and satisfied, that mere attendance in this place will suffice. وَإِنَّمَا يُقَدِّسُهُ عَمَلُهُ. Coupled with a visit to this blessed place to perform the righteous deeds, that would just complement it and culminate it and bring a different spirit to end in the blessed month of Ramadan.
Indeed. Well, Jazakumullah for availing yourself. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your trip and bring you and your companions back safely home, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Mawla, the last word I would like to just say is that, you know, throughout the year, brothers are coming, but having spoken to one of the tour guides, he said that, you know, people should endeavor to do it in Ramadan, because what a person would see in Ramadan, the atmosphere, is something that would not be seen throughout the year. Unlike the Haramain, where you're looking for a gap, you're looking for a more quiet period, if a quiet period exists, you know, now that it doesn't happen there as such, but you want those there to minimize or relatively small audience. But yeah, I'm told, and I cannot compare against outside Ramadan because I don't know it, but so was I told, that if a person comes outside Ramadan, the old Jerusalem, the city, you could be breezing through, you could be strolling through, the numbers much less, you there's no movement, but that spirit and that electrifying atmosphere will be there. So maybe, I mean, obviously it needs to be seen and think that a person should look at including it in Ramadan if ever possible. I think it would just so much more add to his experience.
Indeed. Well, Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated.
Ameen, ameen.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.